You're very welcome to episode number one of African Research Excellence, DSW in Conversation, where each week, myself, Owen Walsh from DSW, and my colleague and co-host, Augustine Martin, interview outstanding African researchers and advocates in the field of global health research to learn more about their work and their views on the needs and opportunities to advance global health research and innovation in Africa. Before we get started with our first interview and our first guest, some of you may or may not know DSW, so I thought I would introduce myself. Augustine can introduce himself and we'll explain a little bit about DSW and a little bit about what we want to achieve with the podcast. My name is Owen Walsh, as I said, based in Brussels, working for DSW on our communications team. DSW stands for Deutsche Stiftung Weltbevölkerung, originally an organization founded in Germany. As you can tell, I'm not German. We've since expanded. DSW is a global development organization which is committed to creating demand for and access to health, information, services, supplies, and economic empowerment for youth. We do this by engaging in advocacy, capacity development, reproductive health initiatives so that young people are empowered to lead healthy and self-determined lives. Something that we also do, particularly from our Brussels office, is that we advocate for investment in research and innovation to fight poverty-related and neglected tropical diseases. What that means and why we're doing the podcast, maybe Augustine, you can introduce yourself and then give a little bit of a background about why we're doing this.
Sure. Thank you, Owen. So my name is Augustine Martin. I'm an advocacy officer at DSW. And by the way, terrific job with the German pronunciation. So no shame on that. And yes, as Owen said, we work in advocacy in the poverty-related and neglected diseases research and innovation. What we're basically trying to do is to raise awareness on the importance of these diseases that are endemic in many low and middle-income countries that suffer from market failure. So poverty-related and neglected diseases include HIV and AIDS, tuberculosis, malaria, and a wide range of neglected tropical diseases with unpronounceable names such as leishmaniasis, schistosomiasis, and others. And these are very, very nasty diseases that are transmitted by vectors, parasites, viruses, bacteria. And they are disproportionately affecting vulnerable populations. And they suffer from market failure, and they suffer from the fact that there is no available treatments for the majority of these diseases. There are no vaccines, no accurate diagnostics, no medical devices, no therapeutics. So we still have a very long way to go to eradicate those diseases. And this podcast is targeted to expert audiences that know a lot about these diseases, but also those people that care about these diseases but don't necessarily have the technical knowledge. So, you know, other NGO colleagues, decision makers that, you know, may have an impact in shaping the policies that will help us advance in fighting poverty-related neglected diseases.
One piece of housekeeping, the technical quality is the best that we can achieve. We're still working on coronavirus lockdown rules, which means that Augustine and I are recording remotely, as is our guest. So if there are any slight technical hiccups or glitches, please indulge us. We're still working in these new working arrangements and it's taking a little bit of time to get used to them. But Augustine, maybe you can introduce our first guest of the first episode.
Dr. Michael Makanga joined the EDCTP in 2004. He was appointed as director of South-South Cooperation and head of the EDCTP Africa office in Cape Town, South Africa, in 2008. And he has been the CEO of the organization since 2016. He's a clinician scientist born and raised in Uganda, with 3 decades of professional experience working on health and poverty-related diseases in sub-Saharan Africa. This includes 20 years working on medical product development and clinical regulatory activities. Dr. Makanga holds a medical degree from Makerere University, Uganda, and master's and doctoral degrees from the University of Liverpool in the UK. Michael Makanga, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Michael, there are many people who are listening to the podcast who will know EDCTP and the great work you're doing, but for those who are new to the organization, to the partnership, maybe you can just give a little bit of a background on what it is, what you do, and sort of what are the big priorities for the partnership in 2020.
The European and Developing Countries Clinical Trials Partnership, EDCTP, is a public-public partnership between institutions that are mandated by the national governments in Europe and in Africa, and also supported by the European Union. This program was set up specifically to support high-quality collaborative research to accelerate the development of both new or improved medical interventions for poverty-related as well as emerging and re-emerging infections that affect sub-Saharan Africa. This program was established in 2003, and its first program ran up to end of 2015. And the second program, which is running now, started in November 2014 and will continue up to the end of 2024, although the timelines may be slightly affected by the current COVID outbreak. This program is focusing on neglected infectious diseases, which include malaria, HIV, and TB. And in the second program, we added neglected infectious diseases, lower respiratory tract infections, diarrhea diseases, and emerging and re-emerging infections that affect sub-Saharan Africa, such as Ebola, Lassa fever, and currently the problem we have of COVID-19.
Michael, you said that the partnership in its original creation started in 2003. How much has it changed in the 17 years since, or even in the decade or so that you've been working with it?
Well, the first program was the legal structure was a European economic interest grouping. And in this case, it is only the European member states that were full members of the program. The novelty in the second program is that this is a true partnership that is involving both the European and the African member states co-owning the program with co-funding from the Union. And second, in terms of the scope, the current program covers more diseases. We have the addition of neglected infectious diseases, diarrhea diseases, and lower respiratory tract infections, as well as emerging and re-emerging infections of particular relevance to sub-Saharan Africa. And the reason for this is attributed to the morbidity and mortality that is associated with these diseases. In addition to this, the program also now covers all phases of clinical development from phase 1 to phase 4, including product-focused implementation research. Although the bulk of the what is supported is mainly the late-stage development, mainly phase 2, 3, and 4 at the moment.
Michael, how important has it been to have sub-Saharan African countries in the partnership? I mean, as you said, it started as a European project and has since expanded its membership and its remit. How important has that expansion been, not only for the day-to-day running of EDCTP, but also for the priority setting?
The partnership with Sub-Saharan Africa has significantly contributed to the spirit of co-ownership and co-leadership. And this is helping in the building of sustainable capacity on one hand, but also the joint identification of priorities and the joint implementation of the work. This now brings in a long-term perspective, which is key in the development of a program and also in bringing up a lasting change and impact of what is delivered. What has been very, very encouraging to me is that as a program, we've been very intentional and purposeful. On one hand, to preserve the core of the organization, and on the other, to stimulate progress. On the side of preserving the core, the program has been very mindful about implementing activities while taking care of the local capacity and creating or building a lasting legacy. And this has been done in terms of the infrastructure and supporting the intellectual development and training of the next generation of African researchers and scientific leaders, while keeping track of their progress and retention on one hand, and on stimulating progress. What has been very insightful here is the program has been able to tackle real questions that matter in sub-Saharan Africa. And we've seen a steady growth of our research and development portfolio, ranging from individual projects to portfolios of projects that are really accelerating the development of these medical interventions that is going to contribute to the generating of evidence of immediate value and also of long-term value in sub-Saharan Africa and globally.
I mean, there's been a lot of progress undoubtedly in the field of poverty-related and neglected diseases, and you've talked us through some of the contributions, the specific contributions that ADCTP has achieved on that realm. But of course, there's still plenty that needs to be done. So I wonder, what can we expect from the negotiations of the ADCTP successor program, which are going to happen hopefully this year? What can we expect, and what would you like to see if you had a magic wand and you could just make it happen? What would you like to see in the future?
Well, starting from where we are, the COVID crisis has really been a wake-up call for all of us, all global citizens, the scientific community, the public and private funding agencies, and national governments, of the value of research and development and of the interdependence of the disciplines, of the various disciplines. And in this, I really feel that this is really an important ignition to both the member states and the European Union, together with other partners, to look at a bigger and more effective program that is really going to make a difference. When we look at what has been achieved with the current budget, to see the amount of work that has been done in terms of clinical studies supported, capacity built, the work that has been done to network research institutions, I'm looking at the program that would at least be double what we are now to really move it to another level. This is the time to rethink the partnership, because we have really seen in very tangible terms, what research and development can make or can do to contribute to sustainable development goals. This is in terms of progression of medical interventions against the diseases of focus, but also on the side of preparing for and responding to outbreaks.
Yeah, and I mean, indeed, this is the COVID has been definitely a game changer, and we can all see that in the discourse at European Union level, how everything has just basically been reprioritized to some extent to address the COVID crisis from all different spheres. But one of the questions that we've often been asked by colleagues is, I mean, COVID is a double-edged sword. I mean, it can go both ways. It could be an opportunity to secure additional resources for global health research and innovation, but it could also detract already paltry and scarce resources that are, you know, going to neglected areas such as, you know, poverty-related and neglected diseases. So do you consider the COVID crisis more as an opportunity or as a risk for additional investment in partnerships such as ADCTP or through other different channels? And how can we make this, you know, a positive transformation, a positive, you know, situation for raising awareness and for raising investments and support for other infectious diseases that are neglected still?
I take an optimistic view on this, in that in the short term, I see that the COVID outbreak has very useful, well, the COVID outbreak in itself has been very and continues to be very instrumental in increasing the awareness of the value of research and development to countries. And in this has been exemplified in the way that the countries or the governments have responded to the fundraising call from the president of the European Union, contributing to the research and development for COVID. Now, this said, we also have to draw lessons learned from this in that research and development of COVID is not starting or going on in isolation. It is really building on the platforms that have been established for other diseases, diseases like HIV, diseases like Ebola, diseases like tuberculosis and malaria. They are drawing lessons from all these and also making use of the platforms, including diseases like influenza. All these are contributing to the accelerated research and development for COVID. But all this is taking money. And that takes me to the next angle. Because the budgets are limited, the crisis in itself is impacting on the countries economically. The envelopes are bound to be limited. And where money is drawn to go towards COVID research, that leaves a gap. And that may create a constraint on the funding for other diseases. And this is the time now to advocate for cross-silos approach in supporting research and development, not only to think in terms of COVID, but to think in terms of how can the investments that are made towards COVID contribute to the continued growth and control of other diseases and the research and development for other diseases, so that this cross-disease approach is advocated for not only at the research community, but to the governments that are contributing to this and to the different partners that are working specifically on single disease entities, to think more broadly on how to take forward research and development that will have an enduring impact in the countries that are affected.
We've been talking about the impact of COVID. So what's going on in the EDCTP in 2020? I mean, amidst the COVID crisis, the EDCTP has still been obviously launching the calls and doing the work in the focus area, which is diseases of poverty. So can you illuminate a little bit what's the contribution of EDCTP for 2020?
Looking at the evolution of the COVID-19 outbreak and the involvement of the African countries, at the beginning of this year, we decided to activate an emergency funding mechanism, which involved mobilization of funding for COVID-19 research. And this is also building on the investments that we've made in the more than 240 clinical studies that are running in 32 African countries to make sure that these investments can make a contribution to the outbreak of COVID while funding new research areas within COVID to improve the understanding of the disease in the African continent, and also the development of new interventions against COVID. In addition to that, we've continued to pursue our core mission in the fight against other diseases, and we've launched two important calls for proposals. One is on innovative approaches to enhance poverty-related diseases. And this is the kind of research that encourages the use of things like digital technology that will maximize investments and the growing and the megatrends in sub-Saharan Africa that will make use of digital technology in the management and implementation of medical interventions in sub-Saharan Africa. Additionally, we've launched a strategic call to maximize the impact of research reducing the burden of disease in collaboration with development cooperation initiatives. We realized that working with development cooperation partners is key, even as we plan to do more work in late-stage development of medical interventions. Additionally, we have launched a call to renew our investment in the regional networks of excellence, which are supporting the building of regional capacity for clinical trials, supporting all diseases, including diseases of epidemic potential. More to that, we've continued our investment to strengthen the support for ethics and regulatory environments, which are key for both peaceful research and research in terms of epidemics. These are areas that we felt are important even as we prepare to venture into the new or the future program. And this is in addition to the capacity development for disease outbreaks and epidemic response call that we are doing in partnership with the Africa CDC.
Yeah, and I think we all agree that one of the strengths indeed of the ECTP partnership is not just its portfolio that really looks across the board of diseases and really tries to comprehensively address all the different diseases of poverty, but also this interdisciplinary approach in the sense that you are looking at the clinical research, but also at the health systems, the regulatory and the capacity development for disease outbreak now with the recent call. So before handing over to Owen, I wanted to tap specifically on that latest point because of the obvious challenges that COVID is posing. And I wanted to know more about the joint call that you recently launched in collaboration with the Africa CDC and what sort of cooperation is emerging from this crisis and from previous conversations that we know you had been having with African Union institutions. Tell us a little bit more about this new EDCTP Africa CDC collaboration, please.
Well, it helps also to know a little bit about the history of this collaboration. Way back in December 2018, I happened to be speaking. I was in the opening. I was giving one of the keynote addresses at the biennial conference of the African Society for Laboratory Medicine. And at this meeting, the director of Africa CDC, Dr. John Kengason, was also speaking. In fact, he was chairing the opening session, I remember. And the theme for this conference was preventing and controlling the next pandemic, the role of the laboratory. We found it, personally, I found it an extremely appropriate and timely time to share the best practices and to gather knowledge and to debate the innovative approaches for combating global health threats. And as we were traveling back, at that time I flew via Addis. We happened to be on the same flight. And we brainstormed a little bit and we said that how can we, as organizations that are working in the African region, work together in a very practical way to contribute to the prevention and control of the next pandemic? And one of the gaps that we identified as an area of common interest was the limited number of epidemiologists and biostatisticians on the African continent. These are needed to systematically establish the burden of disease and also to be able to evaluate the impact of the interventions that are coming up and are being introduced in the region. With this in mind, we said, let us have a joint approach. Let us discuss this further with our scientific advisory committees to come up with a concerted approach that we can take forward. Little did we know that in the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, we'll be having the COVID outbreak. What we had in hindsight was the Ebola outbreak and the Lassa fever outbreaks that were happening and bits of the yellow fever. It just happened to come timely that at the time when we're planning to launch this call, we had the outbreak of COVID. And with this, we decided to take this forward jointly and launch a call that will result in the training of more than 100 epidemiologists from all regions that will involve institutions in Africa and Europe, working very closely together with the National Institutes of Health in Africa to really have a lasting change that will contribute to preparedness and control of these diseases. More to this, this also happened at the time when we had put in place an investment towards epidemic preparedness. And in this same year, we had launched two large consortia. One was the Pan-African Network for Rapid Research, Response, Relief and Preparedness for Infectious Diseases, Pandora IDNet, and the African Coalition for Epidemic Research, Response and Training, ALERT. Both these consortia were working very closely with and continue to work very closely with Africa CDC. I'm glad to note that they are also contributing to the task force of Africa CDC, knowing that Africa CDC is drawing from some of the resources that we've invested in. Not only these epidemic preparedness consortia, it's also drawing from the investments we've made from the four regional networks of excellence, and also the large number of scientists that we have contributed to as part of the fellowship alumni platform. I'm glad to say that the chief scientific advisor now of Africa CDC is one of the alumni of EDCTP, one of the former fellows of EDCTP. And this also brings in another facet. This is an individual that trained as a vaccinologist in the area of HIV and has now repurposed his expertise to work on other infectious diseases and making to the greater good of control of outbreaks and epidemics in sub-Saharan Africa, in Africa.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And it really shows this, long-standing added value of the partnership that is been critical in building this African expertise. I wonder if this example of collaboration, do you think this example of collaboration is going to be expanded in the future? And this could mean, for instance, having a specific role for African Union within the EDCTP partnership, or the fact that now you have a permanent sort of collaboration mechanism with the Africa CDC would help to involve additional sub-Saharan African or even Northern African countries. What do you think this can actually, trigger a response of other African countries to join the partnership, for instance?
Certainly. I have to mention, though, that EDCTP has been working very closely, both with the World Health Organization at the headquarters and the World Health Organization African region, together with the African Union. And both have observer positions at our General Assembly. Now, the creation of the Africa CDC brings in another facet in that this being one of the operating arms of the Africa Union, we have more tangible areas of collaboration. Going beyond the Africa CDC, we are also working very closely with the new African Partnership for with NAPAD, which is the African Union agency. And our collaboration on that side is on the side of strengthening of the African Medicines Regulatory Agencies through the African Medicine Regulatory Agencies Harmonization Initiative that is hosted by the NEPAT or AUDA, which is the African Union agency. So the point I'm bringing out here is that we are working both with WHO and African Union and the African Union agencies that are involved in different areas.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. I think we're driving slowly to the end of the conversation, but I still have a couple of questions more on your personal views and hopes for the future. So I'd also want targeted really to our audience, because as you know, this podcast is really an opportunity to not just raise awareness of what's going on, you know, at in Global Health R&I between Africa and Europe, but also to try to activate our community to voice their concerns and seize the opportunities that the current crisis is, you know, posing to secure additional investments and political support for such initiatives such as EDCTP. So how can the global health community help EDCTP to, you know, continue doing the work they're doing, to scale up in the future? What can we do to make sure that this great initiative receives the more support, attention, and recognition, especially in this very critical year?
This is really important because we are at a very critical time. We are in the seventh year of implementation of the current program, meaning that we are launching our last set of activities this year. And this is the time to really think at the next program. Considering what has been achieved in the province, to see and appreciate the value that this a program like this delivers, and in this to contribute to increase both the political and financial contribution.
I think that's been hugely illuminating, Michael. It's been really great having you on as a guest today. I'm sure as the months continue and we see what the consequences of COVID is and the post-COVID recovery and how those impact on Global Health R&D, I'm sure we'll be in contact with you again. Michael Makanga, it's been great to have you on the episode today. Thank you for your insight, and we look forward to seeing you and talking to you again in the future.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for today's episode of African Research Excellence DSW in Conversation. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and all good podcast platforms. You can find more information about DSW at dsw.org and across our social channels on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Until next time.